giving you the story behind the score.
Melnick in the afternoon.
TSN 690.
Everybody's wondering what happened to the rivalry, but at the same time, I think the game's changed a lot. Where there's a lot more speed in the game now. There's again the rules change, a lot of things change. Where we're trying to get fighting more out of the game, and so I think the games against them seems just as exciting. It's just that there aren't those little scraps.
Oh gosh darn. Welcome back. Hour number three. It's game night. Claude Julien is back home, kind of. Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gala. Daphne Malbouf is helping us out. He is in the building tonight. It is Rivalry Night, Original Six, NBC Sports Rivalry Night. Pierre Maguire.
Pierre Maguire on TSN 690, brought to you by Dagwoods Catering. Make your office party a hit with Dagwoods Catering. Order online at dagwoods.ca.
Welcome home, Pierre. How you doing?
You know what? It's great to be here. I was so excited when I got off the plane and drove into town, got a workout at the hotel, came right to the rink, and I've been here for a while just having a blast. I love coming here, Mitch, as you know, and very excited about the game tonight. Very, very excited about the game.
So you heard Claude Julien there. Do you think it's taking some getting used to for the hardcore fan base? We just had our Bruins ambassador, Ricky Brunette, saying, yeah, he misses the big bad Bruins a little bit. But do you think it's going to take some getting used to?
Well, I think a lot of teams are going through that. Chicago Blackhawks have gone through it, and their fan base doesn't seem that disappointed with the 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. I looked at Los Angeles, and while they're a pugnacious team during the regular season, during the playoffs when they've had the 2 Cup runs, they were very, very smart and very good, and their fan base loved it. I think it does take some getting used to. Detroit for years now, ever since Scotty went in there, they kind of stopped putting the fighting on the front burner and putting skill and dexterity on the front burner. And, you see it, it's paid off for them with the Stanley Cup. So I think it does take some getting used to. If you're in a situation like Philadelphia where you really had it carved out that you were the rough and tumble team and you haven't won a cup since back in the 1970s, then I think your fan base gets really disjointed. But no, I think most of the cities are getting used to it.
Well, we've been playing some good hockey. I think there's more to it. I think we have another gear that we can go and get, and obviously we're going to need that tonight. They're a good team. They play some good hockey. The standings show it, their record, and I think they're a team that it's tough to beat if you don't bring your best effort, so we're definitely going to need that.
Captain Patrice Bergeron, Pierre, now, as you know, the Bruins are a bubble team. Do you think they remain a bubble team all year? Do you think they move up a little bit or maybe drop out?
I think a lot of it has to do with injury situations. They really do. If they start to get, a bunch of injury situations that they dealt with at the beginning of the year, I think that becomes a little bit of a problem for them. Here's a question that I would it's not so much a question. It's just for people to wrap their heads around it. Think about the Boston Bruins over the last couple of years. Jerome McGinley and his 28 to 32 goals are gone. Milan Lucic and his 25 to 30 goals are gone. Johnny Boychuk and his defensive presence is gone. Chris Kelly is injured and will not be back this year and may never play again. And then you look at Gregory Campbell, Sean Thornton, and Danny Pike. So you've lost all those players over time, and in not a long time, and now you're trying to remake your brand. And so that's one of the things that I think becomes difficult. And quite frankly, Seidenberg and Chara aren't getting any younger. So that's why, everybody's wondering where the Bruins are. I think the Bruins are really aggressively trying to rebuild their team on the fly with a really smart, capable hockey guy in Donnie Sweeney. And I think they're well on their way to doing it. People don't, here's the name, I'll give you 2 names. Right off the top of my head, Wiley Sherman. Do you know who he is?
No.
Okay, he's a 6'8" defenseman that plays at Harvard. Rob O'Gara, do you know who he is?
Oh, he sounds tough.
He is tough. He's a 6'3" defenseman that plays at Yale. And so those are just 2 guys. If that doesn't count Jacob Zaboral, that doesn't count Jake DeBrusk, that doesn't count Sinishin out of Sault Ste. Marie. I'm just, again, going off the top of my head with their prospect list. These guys have aggressively, and I'm talking aggressively, retooled this thing. And in a year, people are going to say, ooh, those are good Bruins. Because that's what they're trying to do.
A year ago, it was a young Pastrnak who kind of came out of nowhere. Like, we were aware of him as a talent, but I don't think anybody thought he'd score 20 as an 18-year-old. He's been hurt. Who among the guys?
I only know one guy that did. You know who it is? Scotty Bowman. Scotty Bowman watched him at the World Junior, and Scotty, I remember having this conversation with him, saying to me, he said, "I don't know what everybody's doing on this guy. This guy's going to be a 20 to 30 goal scorer in the NHL." I'm not kidding you. Scotty was on that guy. Unbelievable. He picked him out right away.
Scotty, the Rain Man of hockey. And again, we say that with love and respect. But who among the young guys, who among the young guys on this team that we're going to see tonight is, do you think is part of this group moving forward?
Well, do you count Marchand as being young?
No.
Okay. Do you count Colin Miller as being young?
Yeah.
3 years a junior and 2 years in the American Hockey League. That considered young. He came over in the Lucic trade. That count as being young?
Well, the guys we haven't seen before.
Well, I gave you a bunch of names before that aren't here right now.
But the guys who, so maybe a couple of the guys who might have a battle on their hands against some of the players you just mentioned. They're young NHLers right now. They're in the NHL with the Boston Bruins,
right,
but they're not secure yet.
Well, Landon Ferraro, but I think he's playing his way into being secure. I know Bolesky played 3 years with PK in Belleville, and I think Bolesky's going to be a real good Boston Bruin. I know he's a tinge older, but I still think he's going to be a very good Boston Bruin. I think Krejci's still got a lot of good years left in him. I think Bergeron has a lot of good years left in him. It's going to be interesting to watch how it plays itself out. I think Torrey Krug, Sweeney likes him a lot because I think he reminds Sweeney of himself, and I think Torrey continues to evolve as a player and has learned how to play as a smaller guy in the league. He's a younger player. I know everybody in Montreal loves it when the Bruins are down, but I'll step up for Donnie Sweeney on this. I loved what he did at the draft, and I know everybody was ripping him apart, but I kind of saw what he was trying to do, and I think he's kind of, now you're starting to see the fruits of his labor. He understands the young prospects that are out there, and it's an important part of the job. It really is, and Donnie was out there doing a lot of road work for a long time, but knows the good young players that are out there.
We told you yesterday Ray Ferraro's will be in the building tonight specifically as a father to watch Landon. And, I don't know how unbiased a scouting report you can get father to son, but I threw it at him yesterday, and I'd like you to pick up and see how accurate you think he is.
Fast, very fast. He's got a good shot. He's tenacious. I would say there's, somewhere along the line, there'll be a little bit of offense to his game. You know, like he's got a couple goals in six games with Boston, and he's pretty feisty. You know, he's not a finesse guy for sure. I think he'll prove to be a versatile bottom six forward. You know, he's played all three positions in Boston, and which is never a bad thing to have in your tool belt. When the coach says, "Can you play left wing?" you're like, "Yeah, sure." And you can. I mean, I tried it, and it wasn't very successful. They stuck me back in the middle.
Was that that pretty good scouting report on Landon Ferraro?
Oh, that's a very good one. Now, I go back to watching Landon play at Red Deer. I also watched him play in Everett. Watched him play in Grand Rapids. I think he had 28 or 29 goals last year in Grand Rapids. I think there is a lot of a potential offense to his game. I agree with Ray on that. He is very fast. I agree with Ray on that. I think he needs to develop a little bit more edge. I think he's going to get there. The more he plays, he'll get more confident and not be afraid to make mistakes. So I agree with that. And if he's going to be a bottom six forward, I think he's going to be a really good one. And I would put him in the category of an advanced Danny Pailler, a more skilled Gregory Campbell, a Chris Kelly type with a little more offense. Those are really good players who have Bruins connections, obviously. So I would agree with that scouting report by Ray. Again, going back to having watched the player play a ton and knowing what he came from. You know, I like guys that win championships because I think they understand the work that goes into being a winner. And he was part of a 2013 Calder Cup team in Grand Rapids that basically has helped produce so many good Red Wings that are there right now. And he was a major part of that group. And I like guys that have won, whether it's at the NHL level, the junior level, or obviously the American Hockey League level.
With Pierre McGuire at the Bell Center for the game tonight, Habs and Bruins, NBC Sports rivalry night. We'll get to the Habs in just a few minutes. And after 5:30, agent provocateur Alan Walsh.
It's experience, called experience. You get to know yourself a little bit better, and you learn to control your emotions a lot better at different times. And there's been situations this year that we've needed to stay calm under certain circumstances. And he's done that, and he's been able to help us get ourselves back on track.
On how important and, for the most part, calmer Brad Marchand has been this season?
Well, I think coaches learn that. Players learn that. Winning helped Marchand a ton. I think he understands. He's one of the leaders now, especially with some of the younger players coming through. I know, again, that he's somebody that everybody in the opposition loves to hate, but if you had him on your team, you'd love him. So, I go back a long way with a player. I've always respected the player as a player, and I think he's a very important part of what the Bruins are trying to do. The relationship he has with Patrice Bergeron shouldn't be undersold, by the way. Bergeron has been amazingly good to this player in terms of teaching him how to handle himself in different situations. And, I like to compare Bergeron to one of the greats, John Rattel, and that's pretty high praise. John was an amazing player. And Bergeron carries himself like that and plays a little bit like that. So I think if Bergeron or if Marchand can learn from Bergeron, that's great.
We've really complimented the Canadians this year with their ability to win games different ways and be versatile when called upon. And I'm wondering, what's the key to tailoring your team and your style to the opposition on any given night, to the time of year, whether you're approaching playoff time, whether you're in playoff time? Is that just about building depth and building organization, or is it also about tactics and more than that?
I think with their team, the penalty kills not being sold enough. On any given night, they could be number two or number three in the league and maybe even creeping up to one. So I think that's part of it. So that's tactics, and that's putting players in positions to succeed. Obviously, the power play is a top five power play, which we talked about so much before the season started. They had to be a top five power play in order to be successful, and obviously they are. But I think, again, we talk about the leadership in Boston with Charon Bergeron and how they learn from Recchi. I think the leadership in Montreal with PK and with Thomas and with Andre and with Max in particular has helped their group a ton. So there's a lot of positives with the Montreal thing in terms of the way they can adjust. And, Rod, you've always been really strong in this point, and I think it's so valid. Starts in games. By and large, the Canadiens have had very good starts in games this year, and I think that's helped them a lot because it allows them to establish their game plan and stay with their game plan.
Pierre, Louis Erickson had, you know, three seasons of 70-plus points with Dallas. He comes over in the big trade and doesn't have an immediate impact in his first two seasons with Boston. This year, 24 points so far in 26 games. Has something clicked? Has something changed?
No, Louis was doing good things for Boston, just wasn't getting points. But penalty killing-wise, he was doing good things. He was establishing forecheck, well, not being overly physical because he's not like that, but he's very good at forcing turnovers, a little bit like Pavel Datsyuk that way, not as good as Datsyuk, but similar. But Louis's always been, you go back and check Louis when he played for London, Sweden, and you go look at some of the games he played in and some of the big moments he had in that league in particular, he's always been a really savvy, heady, smart player that could make a difference in a game. I just think for him, he had been in such a structured environment his whole life playing in for London. You know, you grow up in Gothenburg, you play there, you're on an elite team and an elite program, you never get traded. And obviously you come over, you play with Dallas, and then you get traded away, and it's like, uh-oh, what am I supposed to do? So sometimes guys get traded, and it just takes a little bit longer for them to get comfortable, and I think that's what happened with Louis.
Pierre McGuire in the house tonight on NBC Sports. Montreal and Boston at the Bell Center on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. Alan Walsh, agent provocateur, in just a few minutes. Pierre, you know the story early on was the fourth line and how well they were producing, led by Torrey Mitchell, who at least is back skating again. So tonight we see Brian Flynn with Christian Thomas and Daniel Carr, who just played his first game, scored his first goal on his first shift, like Mario Lemieux did against Boston.
Against Boston, that's right.
Do you think Christian Thomas...
Well, Daniel Carr is a good story. I mean, again, that's good scouting. A kid out of Union College, Alberta boy that went, you know, east and played for Rick Bennett and was part of the national championship team at Union. And those are good stories. I like it when those kinds of guys materialize because it shows you that you can find players, but you have to have the desire to go out there and burn up some rubber on the road and eat fast food and drink cold coffee and be away from home and do the grunt work. And, you know, Mitch, you've always said this to me, and you've been so right about it. There's no excuse for a scout, or more than one, not being in the Hall of Fame. There's just no excuse for it, and it's really too bad. But, you know, that's a tribute to the Canadian scouting staff, Daniel Carr, and finding him and getting him into an NHL situation.
Yeah, if I had more time on my hands, I'd beat the drum louder on that. Get a couple of scouts in the Hockey Hall of Fame. You got media people. Put a scout in there. All right, but I wanted to ask you specifically about Christian Thomas. You know, he's been up and down.
Yeah.
He's still young. Do you think he can be an effective NHL player?
I do. There's a little bit of Andrew Ghetto in him. I go back a long way with him, with Oshawa, and again, watching him in different situations. Originally drafted by the Rangers. I think the biggest thing with Christian is just getting in. I talked to his dad, Steve, about this, who's an assistant coach now down in Tampa, is just getting comfortable with the puck at this tempo. Because I do think once he does get comfortable with the tempo of the games now that he can do this. I really do. I kind of like that acquisition when the Canadians got him from the Rangers. I thought it was a pretty good fit for him, a good opportunity. Now, remember, this is before they got Brian Flynn, and this is before they got Torrey Mitchell. So their lineup's changed a little bit in Montreal since they traded for Christian Thomas. But I do think once he gets comfortable with the tempo of the game, with the puck on a stick, I think he can do some good things in the NHL.
Pierre back home tonight. Last night he was in Washington.
Red Wings' fourth line is out there. Anderson with Yurko and Glendening. Anderson stole that puck all alone. Yurko scores! Oh, there's the great hands he's showing. Certainly in the American Hockey League, and Yurko gets the goal, and it's 2-1 Detroit.
He was a great scorer in junior, playing for St. John in the Quebec Major Junior League. And for Barry Trotz, who wanted an aggressive forecheck game from his team, this is a little example of aggressive forecheck from Detroit. Real good play, coming in hard, forcing the turnover, and there's Yurko, Johnny on the spot.
Turning with it is Nicholas Backstrom, away from Glendening. Moving in is Carlson. Johansson out front, Howard the save, loose puck, Ovechkin scores! Netzov, 50% in the shootout. Jimmy Howard, the last three seasons in the shootout, just 6-18. So really struggling. Needs a big save here for Detroit. Doesn't get it. Great move.
Ken Daniels with Pierre McGuire in Washington last night. You know you're in trouble in a shootout when you see the puck on TJ Oshie's stick, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I asked him after the game, right on TV. I said, how's the shootout so easy for you? He goes, well, I got a little bit lucky in that one, but I found a few moves. I said, yeah, I think I saw six or eight of them in Sochi a couple years ago. He's phenomenally poised and composed when he goes down in shootout situations. He went 5-0 on Jimmy Howard last night. He opened him up. He thought he got a little bit lucky talking about Oshie. He even said that about himself, but it sure looked like he knew what he was doing, and I think he probably did. He's a very humble guy. In terms of the move that Kuznetsov made, that was insane. That was power, that was skill, that was speed, and that was awareness, all in about a 3.5-second clip. Unbelievable play by Kuznetsov against Jimmy Howard. Washington, as we talked about, is for real. I think Detroit is going to have a fantastic second half of the year. In their last 11 games, they have not lost in regulation. They've got 7 wins in their last 11. So they keep putting points in the bank. And for Washington, man, oh, man, they just keep plugging along. Now, the only bad news, Mitch, is I walked out of the rink with Brooks Orpik last night. I don't think he's going to be back anytime soon. He was really
disconsolate. They were leaving today on a father's trip to go to Florida and play the Panthers, and then over to Tampa. But I don't think you'll see him playing in an NHL game anytime soon, and that could cause some problems for Washington long term.
Well, I think most people who are following hockey know about Dylan Larkin. One of the things they may not be aware of, and I know it's not a be-all and end-all, but it's rare to see a rookie's name at the top of the plus-minus stats like his name is.
Well, I think the biggest thing with Dylan is there's a lot of Marian Hossa in him. Dylan Larkin was the best player for the Americans at last year's World Junior. You know what my feeling is. If you can dominate a World Junior, you can play in the NHL and be a really good player. But the thing that's helped him a lot, playing with Henrik Zetterberg and Justin Abdelkader, that really provides physical insulation, obviously, from Abdelkader. Guys try to get Larkin off his game, and it's hard to because Abdelkader's there to straighten any situation out. And then you play with the brains of a Zetterberg, who's still one of the more brilliant players in the game. That's huge for a kid like that. Larkin's as good a skater as anybody in the league, and he's got Hossa's defensive awareness. That's a lethal combination. I thought before the season, and I know I said it to you, so I'll repeat it again. Everybody's talking about McDavid and Eichel, and they're phenomenal, phenomenal players. And Panarin's doing great in Chicago, and Domi and Duclair have been great in Phoenix and Arizona. But I would tell you this. I thought before the season started, Dylan Larkin, based on what I saw last year at the University of Michigan and at the World Junior, that he had any as much of an opportunity as any of those guys to be Rookie of the Year.
Canadians are in Detroit tomorrow night. With the Canadians losing two in a row and the Red Wings and Ottawa surging, their lead in the Atlantic has shrunk to 6 points over both Detroit and Ottawa. More on that tomorrow night. Before I let you go, Pierre, it started earlier than I thought. Big news in Toronto today. You may have heard or seen about Steven Stamkos.
About the tweet.
Yeah.
That he sent, and about, was it a joke? Was it tongue-in-cheek?
Well, he liked, if you don't know Twitter, it's hard to describe, but he kind of focused on a tweet suggesting that he'll go to Toronto, right? And he liked it. You can like a tweet, and you could favor a tweet and all that. And you can imagine what the topic of discussion was in Toronto today.
Well, as we spoke of many times about the situation, they had to get it handled sooner rather than later, because if the later it went, the bigger a problem it would be around their group, because this kind of stuff would happen. I think the target date, as I look at it, is if they don't have something aggressively planned to get done by the middle part of January, I they've got a feeding frenzy on their hands, and I think it's going to take the focus away from the team, and that's going to be a problem for Tampa.
If he wants the same contract that Taves and Kane have in Chicago, is that an issue for Tampa Bay, do you think?
Well, I don't think it's an issue, but it comes down to the way the organization wants to be run long term. And so everybody's got their own philosophy in terms of how they're going to manage the cap. Now, the cap's going up a little bit, and Mr. Vinnick has done very well, the owner in Tampa, and he's a brilliant, brilliant man. And they've got a great managerial team there. But again, nobody can tell a team how to run their cap. The people that run the team decide how they want to run their cap. Everybody prioritizes players differently, so, and prices players differently. I don't know how they want to run their cap. I've never talked to Steve Yzerman or Patty Verbeek or Julian Brisebois about that. But I have to think that Steven's an important part of their future. And if not, then I think if they cannot have him signed, I have to think they're trading him before the deadline. I have to believe that, because they're not letting that asset go for nothing.
By the way, there was a follow-up from Stamkos late this afternoon.
Yeah, he said he didn't realize that he had done the like button on Twitter.
See, that's why I say everybody's going to report it. That's great. But I think I know the player really well, and I know the person really well. He's as serious as a heart attack, this guy. He's as intense as any guy in the league. There's effort. You can ask Gary Roberts this. You should get Gary Roberts on the air. There's effort, and then there's Stamkos effort. I'm telling you. Ask Roberts. This guy goes the extra. This is as intense a guy as there is in the league.
Doesn't take
and
much effort to hit the like button.
To be part of Tampa Bay. I know that for sure.
Doesn't take much effort to hit the like button on Twitter, though.
I don't know anything about it.
I know you don't. I know you don't. Look, and I'll teach you about it later tonight. How about that?
You make sure that you call me.
Yep. Yeah, you make sure
and
you
by
answer.
By the way, just so you know this, I am coming back to Montreal on Monday.
Oh, yeah?
And I will be here all day Monday and Monday night. And I know that somebody at the radio station wants to try to set up a dinner with you and I and some people from the station, so maybe we can do that on Monday. Hopefully Chris is listening to this now as we talk. But I'm coming back Monday because I have to do some stuff for the Winter Classic around the Canadians group. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Okay, so it's always cool when we have these what are supposed to be private conversations public. It's
subliminal. No, you got to keep the fans involved. You got to let the loyal listeners know what's happening.
They love it.
And subliminal messaging works.
Looking forward to see that bald head of yours from upstairs tonight.
I have makeup on it now.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Enjoy, Peter.
I think that for us, we know that we still haven't played our best hockey the past couple games, so that's an opportunity now for us to step up, and there should be no reason of any shortage of intensity on our front. So, you know, we know that games against Boston always get hyped up a lot, and there's a lot of energy, so I expect the same tonight.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
AutoPB. AutoPB. How is it that you get the best price for a car at AutoPB? Because of all the hard work that goes into each of their vehicles. All the care brought to each model, mechanical, aesthetic, the time invested in each car, the most comprehensive guarantees in the industry. The value of each car, the complete history of your purchase, the choice. Shop around, compare, and see for yourself. You always get more for your money at AutoPB. Exit 10, Highway 15 North in Laval.